And over the last 12 months, we were reflecting this weekend. You know, a year ago, we were viewing houses in Burton. We'd been interviewed, we'd accepted the invitation to come as the pastor, and we enjoyed a really nice curry with the elders in GGRG's, and we were house hunting. And a year later, we've had a year, and I know certainly for myself, it's been a year of dreaming of what might be possible. And over the last few weeks, I've been saying to us as a church in both congregations, what are your dreams? When you sit at the end of this year and look back, what are your dreams for what God might want to do in your life personally? But what are your dreams for what he might do in our church together? And this morning, I want to really recognize the privilege that I have as a pastor to come and be your shepherd. It's an absolute privilege to be here. And the more I spend time with you and you share your life with us and with me and you tell us your stories, the more precious that becomes. And I want to thank you for the way you've opened your heart to us. You've shared your life with us. And it is an utter joy to be here, to be with you. Over the last 12 months, I've been dreaming. And there's that sense that I'm very conscious of, as well as being a shepherd. A shepherd's role is also to help lead the flock into good pasture. And so there is a sense that when a new minister comes to a church, what's going to happen? And I said right from day one, my heart is to come in and build relationships and let's discover together what God wants to do. And that hasn't changed. I still believe that our future is a future we discover together as we go. But I do want to ask the question of what makes Burton Elim, Burton Elim. There are some great churches in this town. Started to get to know the ministers of some of the other churches. You know, we've had time with the ministers of two of the other churches. There are some great churches in this town. You know, you look at people like the community church and the work they're doing, it's amazing. You look at places like Riverside and what you're seeing going, it's incredible. And all of us, we would all say that we share a sense of what God wants to do. He wants to see this town reached for Jesus. The question that I would ask us is, what makes us us? Because we're not TCC and we're not Riverside, we're Burton Elim. And burning in my heart has been a few things which we're going to share. And what I'm going to do this morning is just share with you a whole load of stuff. I hope you're sitting comfortably because I'm going to share a lot of stuff with you, all right? And it might feel a little bit like a machine gun going. And then we're going to have lunch together, but we'll take some time this afternoon to then unpack that a little bit further. But the question I've been asking is, how do we unlock our potential? I believe passionately that God has put gifts into every single person sitting in this room. He's given every single person in this room time, treasure, and talents. And the question is whether we're willing to come and offer those to God and say, God, you can have my time, treasure, and talents to build your kingdom. How do we unlock and release that potential? And there's a phrase that I used. I think I used it in both congregations earlier this month. We don't go to church. We don't do church. We are the church. The church is us. It's not our buildings. It's not our programs. It's not the things we do. The church is you and me. We are the church. And it's only taken me 50 years for the penny to drop. Yay. 50 years to realize God is more interested in who we are than what we do. God is more interested in who we are than what we do. Because what we do has to come out of who we are. Does that make sense? What we do has to come out of who we are. So God, how do you want to shape us? What do you want to do? And to help with that, I'm just going to ask if there's a couple of volunteers. On the two tables, there's two tables set up with some displays that I'll talk about in a little bit. But there are some bundles on there of some bookmarks and some leaflets. And I just wonder whether a couple of people could take those round and give everybody who's here a bookmark and a leaflet. And that can just be happening while I sort of talk. One of the things I've heard said a few times is, you know, sometimes we feel a bit visioned out. One of the things I had sensed drop into my spirit as I've listened to some of you and I've talked with some of you is that sense of, for years, we've heard in the Western church, without vision, the people perish, vision, 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 and we get to a point where we go, we're all visioned out. And with that, there comes a sense of, actually, God, how do we move forward with all of that? And I want to suggest to you that we are all about the kingdom of God. We are all about seeing the kingdom of God growing in Burton upon Trent. And so I want to share very briefly a sense of vision, mission, and values. Mission, vision, values. And the first thing I would say is if we look at mission, what we have is you can't really improve on the Great Commission, can you? We are called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God says, I'll be with you. So we can't really get better than the Great Commission. We don't need to go reinventing the wheel. We're called to be disciples who make disciples. And with that, there comes a bit of this challenge, a bit like I was sharing earlier with Wesley. He didn't look for people to just pray a prayer. And I think in the West, in the Western church over the last 40 years, we've moved to a place of saying, say a prayer and you'll be safe, rather than saying, Jesus calls us to become disciples. And disciples are sold out followers of Jesus, willing to die to themselves and be willing to follow Jesus whatever the cost. Discipleship is a lot deeper. It's about repentance. It's about turning around and walking in a different direction. And so it's really encouraged Lynette and myself to hear your heart for the lost. And when I was talking, we had a meal with some of the leaders of TCC the other day, and we were chatting to them, and they said, Burton Elim has a reputation for the lost, of evangelism and wanting to see the gospel and see people coming to faith. This reputation is there. And it excites us to know we've come to a church who want to see the kingdom growing and people coming to faith. So when it comes to our mission, the Great Commission, you can't really improve on it. When it comes to vision, we are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform people's lives. And to be a church that, like this morning, deliberately creates space and time for the Holy Spirit to move. People are more important than programs. And to be a church who say, when we gather as a group of believers, we want to intentionally and deliberately create space for Holy Spirit, is a characteristic for us as a congregation. Now, we are an Elim church, and Elim describes itself as a four-square gospel, the full gospel. And those of you with an Elim heritage, you'll know that that means we believe that he's Saviour, Healer, Baptiser, and Coming King. We believe Jesus wants to save people, heal people, fill them with his Spirit, and celebrate that he's coming back again. So that's part of who we are. We don't need to reinvent that. But can we be a congregation who are willing to be led by the Holy Spirit? And actually, that's a little bit more scary. Because when we start to say, Holy Spirit, you know, this is Jesus' church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's his church. And when we say, God, come and be God of your church, Lord of your church, and Holy Spirit starts to say, you know what, I'd like to do this, do we go, oh no, Holy Spirit, you can't do that? We've done this for 100 years. You can't possibly ask us not to do it. The day we start saying, Holy Spirit, no, is the day we stop being a church that's open to the Holy Spirit. And I guess that heart is, let's be a church who say, Holy Spirit, we want you to be able to have the freedom to move amongst us. And that's scary because it means we have to stop trying to do Holy Spirit's job for him. Holy Spirit comes and does the work of conviction. He comes and does the work of bringing people to repentance. We're called to be disciples who go and make disciples who love people. Can we allow Holy Spirit the freedom to do his work? So, with that in mind, let me encourage you. We are a Holy Spirit people. Is that okay? To create space for Holy Spirit? Fantastic. Many churches would say the same thing. We're committed to the Great Commission and we want to be a church that's led by the Holy Spirit. What makes us us? And that's where we want to come and share with you something that as elders we've been working on for since they interviewed us 12 months ago, since we came, we've been working together. We want to share with you that moving forward, we want to develop a set of heart values for us as a church that shape who we are moving forward. But when people look at Bert and Elim, they see us and they know these are the things that make us Bert and Elim. These are the values that shape what we do. And if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, these are unsurprisingly rooted in some very familiar verses in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. I dare say many of us could quote those verses without having to read them. But Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What an amazing place to be. Wouldn't you love to be part of that? Wouldn't you like to be part of a church community that so reflected the love and the heart and the passion for God that the community looked at that and said, we haven't got that, we want that. When we come together as a community, what we see in this passage is that they didn't just gather together in the temple, they did life together outside of a temple. And being church means we don't do church on a Sunday morning. We are the church 24/7. We are the church Monday to Sunday, Monday to Saturday, outside of the four walls, living as a community of people full of the Holy Spirit, committed to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the community sees such an amazing group of people loving each other so incredibly, doing life together so amazingly, that they go, wow, we haven't got that. We want to be part of that. Our world today, post-COVID, is hungry for relationship. COVID showed us that being isolated is not the way we are designed to be as people. We are designed for relationship with each other. And being a community of people who do life together, you know, that seems to be something that Holy Spirit is saying to the church across the globe at the moment. I sit and I listen to people. You know, I was talking with Gordon Neal a few weeks ago and we were commenting that prophets are a bit weird, aren't they? You know, prophets, we question sometimes whether there's something with their mental health that's going on because of the things that they do. But the prophetic, we should never lose the prophetic from the church. God gave apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And one of the things Holy Spirit seems to be saying across the globe is, how do you take big and make it small? When we gather in big numbers, there is a purpose and a power in the gathered body of Christ together. But it's the gathered church who are doing church through the week who are gathering together on a Sunday for celebration, for worship, and for that sense of what God wants to do together. And I've listened to so many people saying, we went for this model of church which was big, 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 big. And actually, Holy Spirit's saying, you can't really be church when you get big. Because church is what you do together. And that seems to be something Holy Spirit's saying across the world. So those heart values of being a community together. I want to share with you three specific values that define some of those heart values. And these are values that as elders, we've taken some time to prayerfully work through over the last 12 months. We wanted to ask this question of what's our heart as a church? And I want to suggest to you that there are three values that we would like to shape who we are as a church moving forward. And the first one of those is quality relationships. Rooted in Micah 6, what does the Lord require of you? That sense of quality relationships of doing life together is right at the heart of that. I've been in church all my life. One of my earliest memories as a young Christian was going to a church AGM. And half of the congregation said, the pastor, Holy Spirit's told us the pastor's got to leave. And half the church stood up and said, the Holy Spirit's told us the pastor's got to stay. And the church split down the middle, severed, and I am to this day convinced that neither of them heard from the Holy Spirit. And the guy who led me to the Lord was sacked. And written into my heart from day one has been a sense that we have to do relationships together. We are designed and built for quality relationships, and quality relationships take work. When you're a family, you don't always see eye to eye. And it doesn't matter what church I've been in over the years, I have seen people wounded with the words that others have said to them. And I know from the time I've spent with many of you, the wounds that you are carrying from things that people have said to you over the years. Many of us carry those wounds. To be a loving community means let's bear with each other. Let's forgive each other when we get it wrong. I make so many mistakes. You know, the longer I'm here, the more grace you will need with me to forgive me for the things I get wrong. And I know that I get stuff wrong all the time. But you know what? To be a community who have those relationships that are committed to each other that say, we want to be about quality relationships. Loving each other, forgiving each other, doing life together, and allowing those relationships to shape who we are, to heal the hurts of the pain of the past. That goes beyond Sunday mornings. Quality relationships. We'll unpack all of this a little bit more this afternoon. But the second one is creativity. Rooted in Ephesians 4, God gave apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors to equip God's people for works of service. I believe passionately in a creative God. He is the creator who created everything. Creativity is written into his very heart and who he is. And God gives those gifts to the church to equip God's people for works of service. A pastor's job is not to do it all for everybody. A pastor's job is to, if I do that, I'm a bottleneck. I stop you from fulfilling everything that God wants to do in you and through you. But instead, a pastor is called to be a gateway who releases you into your potential of who God has called you to be and designed you to be. God has given you gifts. How do we release that potential? How can we be creative? When Holy Spirit begins to move creatively, he does things we've never seen before. That's scary. We want to be a Holy Spirit-led people. As long as Holy Spirit, you fit into half 10 till 12 on a Sunday morning. And Holy Spirit goes, you know, I'm not sure I can quite fit that in my diary. To be a people who say, Holy Spirit, we want to be led by you, means we are open to the idea of a creative God who wants to birth new things in us, new things through us, new ministries. And that places a responsibility on us as leaders to be about deliberately and intentionally creating opportunities for you to step into the potential that God has for you. To discover the purpose and the plans God has for your life and to say, how can we release you into all that God has for you? That's a bit scary, but it's creative. And thirdly, a value of freedom from 1 Thessalonians 1. The gospel came not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. One of the things Holy Spirit wants to do is to set captives free. We live in a world that is bound in captivity, and sin takes many forms. We want to see Holy Spirit setting people free, that the ministry we see Holy Spirit develop amongst us is about setting captives free. How do we move into that? What does that look like? What would that be like? Let's discover that. So three values, becoming a values-based church means allowing those values to shape our choices, to shape what we do. But at the heart of it is being a loving community that's shaped by these things that help us to reach out in a way that our world sees a community that is creative, wants to help people to find freedom, and is a loving family with quality relationships. Who we are is more important than what we do, because what we do has to come out of who we are. So with that in mind, we begin to dream. What might that mean? So as elders, we've set three priorities for this year. When I asked you the question of what are your dreams, when we get to December and we look back, what would we like to see God having done amongst us over the next 12 months? So we've set three priorities. And I want to share those three priorities with you briefly now and unpack them further this afternoon. The first one of these priorities is Princess Street. Now, can I say something? Can I be completely honest and open and direct? Okay. I want to stop all rumours. We are committed to the continuation long-term of Princess Street. We are not closing Princess Street. All right? Let me just say that in one syllable words, all right? Because I'm aware from my journeying with people that there's all sorts of things going around of what the future of Princess Street is. And I want us to understand that as a church, we are one church in two locations. One church in two locations. And we are committed to being one church in two locations. My Bible says how blessed it is when brothers live together in unity. How's our unity between our congregations? How's our quality relationships between our two congregations? And as I've spent time in both congregations, you start to pick things up. Jerry and I have spent a long time talking through this sense of how can we get better at being together? How can we get better at being one church in two locations? And with that, we have some specific things for Princess Street that we will begin to share. But I want you to hear very clearly, we are committed to Princess Street continuing into a long-term future. Okay? A long-term future. It's not about the next 6 weeks, 6 months. It's about the next 6 years, the next 60 years. Okay? But how do we do life together as one church in two locations? And that asks us to ask some difficult questions. What things are best done together? And what things are unique to each location? I believe God has planted a body of people in Princess Street for a purpose. And a purpose to reach that community in Princess Street that we can't reach from here. How do we allow Holy Spirit to birth new ministries through Princess Street that would reach that community? Let's discover together. We'll unpack more of that later. But please hear our heart. One church, two locations. Who knows? As we grow over the next however many years, we may need to start more congregations because we don't fit in our buildings. Wouldn't that be amazing? And actually, we have a congregation at Princess Street who love the Lord, are passionate for Jesus, who are seeing people saved, who are seeing people baptized, who on a Sunday morning, that building is thriving, celebrating Jesus, and is nearly full and bursting at the seams. A pastor would be out of his mind not to say, what an amazing opportunity we have to invest into the work of God in that place. One church, two locations. Priority number one. Priority number two, small groups. At the end of this year, we want to have developed a new small group network across our town. And on the two boards at the back, over lunch, can I encourage you to go and have a look? I've spent some time over the last week going through the directory. By the way, if you haven't registered on our website, can I encourage you to go onto our website and register so that you can start to receive our weekly church notices that go out, but also allow us to know, you know, who's in contact with us. But I've been through our records, and on the boards you'll find green spots and orange spots, as I have plotted the addresses of where you all live. So go and have a look at them. And you said to me, you've got that one wrong, Chris. I don't live on that road. I live two roads over. Well, it's sort of in the right place. And some of you go, you haven't put a spot up. No, well, I didn't have your address to put your spot on. But what it shows us is where we live as a church. One church, two locations spread across our town. And there we have people from both our congregations living in the same communities. I've observed over the last year, over the last time I've been here, we've seen a lot of new people come through our doors who are welcomed incredibly well, but often don't stay. How do we go deeper at being a community that makes it easier for people to connect with us and do life? We'll unpack more of this afternoon, but we want to develop a geographic-based small group network across our town where we meet as one church, both congregations, joining together. We don't have Princess Street house groups. We don't have Moore Street house groups. We have Burton Elim house groups where we mix together as two congregations and do life together through the week as a church together and celebrate wherever we worship on a Sunday morning. Because then whenever anybody walks into one of our buildings, it doesn't matter where in the town they live, we have something to offer them. I'll share a little bit more of that, but we are looking for volunteers. Volunteers who want to be a small group leader, or volunteers who want to be a small group host. Don't have to be the same. You know, I've spoken to parents who go, coming out in midweek with kids is really difficult. Husband's away, can't get babysitters, can't get out, it's really difficult. I spend time with some of you who are of our silver-haired generation. Coming out at night is really difficult. We need to be creative in the way we approach it, to be able to provide something. So if you are interested in being a small group leader or a small group host, have a look at what's on the boards, and there is a sheet where you can put your name down, and we would invite you to come to some leadership training that we're running early March to explain more, to unpack more, and after that, and only after that, will we decide what small groups we're going to run and who's going to lead them, because there's a one of the things that we want to develop. So small groups. And the third priority for this year is new outreach ministries. Again, can I be really, just share honestly my heart? I look over the road every day and I see the corner standing empty 6 days a week. I see something that as a congregation, as a church, and both congregations have invested into for the last 13, 14 years, sacrificially, passionately have given to that. We have three buildings, three amazing buildings that pretty much stand empty 6 days a week. And as a church, what are we doing that serves our community and creates bridges for our community to come over to build relationships with us? For a church of our size, it troubles me that our buildings stand empty and there are churches of 10, 15 people who are doing more to serve our town than we are. My prayer is that God would raise up within you the passions for his kingdom and you discover the gifts you've got, but we begin to dream and we begin to see our buildings being used through the week to show our love to this town, creating the bridges for people to come in and build relationships with us. Three priorities: Princess Street, small groups, and new outreach ministries. We face these challenges together, we discover together, shaped by our values, and at the end of the year, when we look back, what will we see God having done amongst us? So what are our next steps? There's a few areas we want to invest into. The first area is we want to invest into our leadership. We need to raise up leaders. We need to invest into our leaders. And again, we'll share more this afternoon. But we as a church are structured with elders and deacons. We have an amazing leadership team who have served sacrificially in this place for years. And I want to honour those of you who have served on leadership. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you. As this year progresses, one of the things we're looking at is just organising our leadership team to be focused into ministry. How do we achieve the Great Commission? How do we fulfil our call to Burton upon Trent? How do we move away from being about what colour curtains do we hang to who was saved this month? What are we seeing Holy Spirit doing? What is God doing amongst us? So investing into our leadership team this year is to help us put in place a wineskin designed to help us move forward and see that new wine coming in. And alongside that, we will be looking at leadership training, leadership development. We've been talking about mentoring, raising up the next generation. Because although God hasn't finished with any of us, and there is a purpose for all of us, we have to be about raising up the next generation. You know, faith is about the things that we haven't seen. It's about planting seeds that will outlive us and outgrow us, that we see God's work continuing long after we're gone. How do we invest into that? Investing into our leadership. But we also want to invest into you and invest into our membership. And one of the leaflets we've given you is about membership. Again, I'll explain a little bit more later, but membership is not something we often talk about. But it's a bit of a strange idea in today's world about, you know, being committed to a local church. But as we this year begin to develop what it means to be a member of Burton Elim Church, the invitation that I would give us this morning is, if your heart is with our heart and you want to be part of seeing the Great Commission being fulfilled in Burton upon Trent through Burton Elim, that you say, I want to move forward sharing these values and what we've heard today, I'm in, I want to be part of that. Membership is an opportunity for you to say, I want to be part of what God is doing in this place. The leaflets explain a little bit more. And again, as time goes by, we'll unpack that a little bit more. We want to release you to discover who you are in God. And membership is a way for us to commit to you as you commit to us. So, what does God want to do amongst us? It's a journey we'll discover together, but let's let it be a journey that is shaped by our values and saying, God, who we are is more important than what we do, because what we do has to come out of who we are. So God, would you help us to be the people that you've called us to be, shaped by quality relationships, creativity and freedom, to see your kingdom growing in this place and to see your work expanding in this place. After lunch, we'll begin to unpack a little bit more of some of this information and a little bit more of the detail. But my question is, God has given you time, treasure, and talents. God has given every single person in this church gifts and talents. Are you willing to say, God, I want to put those on the altar, and I want you to be able to use who I am as part of your kingdom? Build your kingdom, we pray. Father, thank you for your incredible presence. Lord, we thank you for what you've been doing amongst us this morning. And Lord, our heart is that as a church, we would be a place where, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And a place, Holy Spirit, where we allow you to lead us. And Lord, we acknowledge that at times that can be a little bit scary. But we pray this year you would begin to shape us and mold us, that we would see your kingdom expanding in Burton upon Trent through our little bit of a kingdom here at Burton Elim. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would begin to release the potential within each person in this room. The dreams we have, I pray that we would start to see you, Holy Spirit, birthing things that have been dreamt. But you would begin to release your purposes for us through us. And Lord, we pray we would see you building your church as people come to saving faith in you, repenting and turning around and becoming disciples sold out for you. And for that to happen, help us to be disciples who are sold out for you. So Lord, shape us, I pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, I ask. Equip us for what lies ahead. Give us hearts that are willing to build quality relationships, and where we've been hurt, to forgive. Lord, not to allow the things that have happened to stop us from moving forward into what you have. Help us to really invest into each other, that as one church in two locations, we would spur each other on. We would cheer each other on. We would celebrate the success of each other. We would love being together. We would love being a church united together. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we discover a stronger unity, that you would flow out of that and we would see your kingdom advancing in our town through both our congregations. So, Lord, we worship you. We give you glory, and we say, Lord, we want to give you back your church. This is your church. We are your church. And we ask you, Lord, to come and to shape us as your church, to be your people and see your kingdom expand. So, Lord, these things we come and we lay at your feet, and we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd lead us, you'd shape us, you'd refine us as things develop, as things maybe change. Lord, help us to be open to what you want to do. So, Lord, we worship you and we give you glory and praise for your kingdom's sake. Amen. 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 We're going to serve refreshments. Please feel free to grab your packed lunch. Our Ukrainian friends have prepared some lovely food for us. Let's enjoy each other's company. And about 1:30, we will gather back together again and begin to unpack things a little bit further. Parents, please don't forget to go and collect your children. Please don't forget to go and collect your children. And let's enjoy life together.